Spencer Ballantyne is owner and head distiller of Silver Trail Distillery in Marshall County. He makes old-fashioned whiskey moonshine based on a family recipe. Ballantyne's product won the 2012 SIP Award for Best Whiskey Moonshine, and his LBL moonshine has recently been picked up by a national distributor. His distillery was also added in October to the new Kentucky Bourbon Trail Craft Tour. Spencer, welcome to Sounds Good.
Well, thanks for inviting me out, and I was supposed to be on last Friday, and I came down with, you saw on TV about what's going around. Well, I think I had all of what's going around. So if I break into a coughing fit, you know, I'll just step away for a second. But thanks for having me anyway. Enjoy it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for making it up to down to Murray to speak with us. And it sounds like things are really starting to take off for you now with your distillery and your the farthest distillery west on the Bourbon Trails Craft Tour, which focuses on micro distilleries rather than something like a Maker's Mark or a Jim Beam. And that's something that I think is kind of unique. So, and it's something that I think the Kentucky Bourbon Trail wanted to focus on was the micro distillery avenue. Could you tell me a little bit about, you know, what that means to you? What makes it unique to you?
Well, really, I'm still kind of shocked that that they actually asked us to be a part of the, we're like the micro distilling arm of the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, which is run by the six large distilleries, and one of them is Jim Beam, which is the largest distillery in, worldwide. And when I got the call to go to Frankfurt back in the spring to discuss this, I was really, and we sat down at Jim Beam there, and when they started their proposal there about, said, hey, we'd like to have you guys on a tour. And all of us little guys, I'll call us, kind of looked at each other. And like I say, we were in shock then. And then they just, and they said, okay. We said, okay, probably they're talking about this thing doing it a couple of years from now. Well, they weren't. They were talking about opening in October, which we did. And since then, the calls to the distillery have been amazing, and we were being the last one or the first one on the tour, whichever way you want to look at,
right.
The most western part, we had the first couple that had completed the tour, and they were from Canada, and they just happened to be in Bardstown the week before when we announced it with the governor up there. And so they were telling me about it, the first distillery we went to, which I think was Heaven Hill. They said, hey, we've got this new tour opening. And they said, well, while we're in the country, we'll just do them all. So they ended up, and our opening day, October 18th, when we're going to do the barrel sealing ceremony, well, I let the guy from Canada do the actual barrel sealing. So they got a unique experience, and I asked him, I said, tell me the truth, would you be in Marshall County, Kentucky, spending money, staying at the hotel, if not for the Bourbon Trail? He said, absolutely not, you know. So it's going to be good for my distillery, but it's really going to be good for Marshall County and West Kentucky tourism. And that's another kind of added advantage to those guys asking us to be on the tour.
And I know one thing that they, when I say they, I mean the people who organize the Kentucky Craft Tour, said about the distilleries was that each one, being a micro distillery, had a more unique flavor to it, and flavor of the product. How would you describe, you know, the flavor, the differences of flavor across the state?
We're totally, like I said, there's seven of us, and there's not one of us, and we're all good friends, but there's not one of us that's alike. I mean, you can go to each distillery, and we all do it a little different way. Of course, we all have different recipes, and a lot of them are like me. It dates back to great-great-grandfathers, and you know, and a lot of them are not. But and the way we distill, I don't think anybody on the whole tour has got a still that's exactly the same. Mine is custom built from my uncle's 1940s design. And my friend in Lebanon, Kentucky, out of Bardstown, has one from Spain. And my friend Paul in Hopkinsville has one from built in Oregon. So it really makes it neat because you can look forward to visiting each one of us because you're going to have a different experience and learn something that you didn't know about distilling. I know I did personally when I toured them, and so that's the unique thing about our new trail. So.
And also, when you have a small operation, you get to know the people who are doing the work better, I think, than if you do in a large operation where you might have 50 employees, working throughout the week.
Oh, that's exactly right, because either one of these small distilleries you go into, you're going to meet the owner, which most of them are like me. They're going to be the head distiller, too. And they're basically, I can't think of one of them that's not family-owned. So you're going to get the family history, and I think most of the guys are like me, except for maybe one or two, kind of grew up in the whiskey business, you know. And so you're going to get a lot of Kentucky history and a lot of, the family whiskey history also.
Yeah. When you opened Silver Trail, you were telling people that it was the first legal distillery in Marshall County, but then doing some research, you found that that wasn't the case. So tell me a little bit about what you found out.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my main bragging points there. Yeah, this is the first legal distillery in West Kentucky in Marshall County, but I thought, well, you need to have something to back that up. So I did a little research, and that's one of the bad things about the Internet. You find out anything, whether you want to or not, but... I found out that there was actually a distillery in Marshall County, a legal one, that closed in 1897. And the odd thing about it, I thought it was only like 8 miles. It would be west of or east of my dealership. I've got that wrong. West of my distillery on the same highway on the Graves Marshall County line. And the reason it closed, I found insurance records. And it had burned, but they were having financial problems because at the time there was a shift from 2.5-gallon kegs into the new glass containers. And the word on the records there said that they really weren't keen on switching over this new technology. And then all of a sudden it kind of conveniently burned and it wasn't rebuilt. So.
I see.
I sure would like to find somebody that had one of those little kegs. It would really be neat to have, but I'm sure that... there's not any around.
So when whiskey was being produced in the late 19th century, the kegs were the standard?
That was a standard. The way I understand it, that's the way they delivered it to the taverns, and it went from like 2.5 gallons up to, 50, what it is now, like a 53-gallon wooden barrel container.
So you couldn't purchase as small of a size, you had to purchase more in bulk back then?
The way, of course, we think about it, and I'd never found where there was really any what you call liquor stores. They were sold at drug stores back then, and then they would convert it, I guess, into whatever they packaged it in for the cough medicines or whatever, and then the taverns, of course, they just dispensed it right out of the bungs of the barrels there for a shot or whatever. So.
And why did glass take over? Do you know anything about that? Or
I think what it was, they were getting into more of the export, and I suppose it's just easier to package, the glass with they probably had a wire closure top on it, and then it started, I think, more to the shipping business instead of used to. It was kind of you take a couple of kegs on your horse or whatever, and then it was used for trading a lot. I guess in the frontier earlier days. So.
Right. And this distillery that you found in your research, do you know what kind of moonshine or whiskey they were producing? Have you found any sort of records of that?
From what I gather, it wasn't like a bourbon distillery like you think of today. Like they weren't sealing the barrels and letting it age. I think it was more like a basic moonshine distillery, where they basically just cut it back to about 100 proof, and then kind of like what I do, basically. So.
Yeah, so you're kind of reviving what was already in Marshall County, if you look at it that way, I suppose.
That's right. I tell everybody I'm the second distillery now.
And you also, as I mentioned earlier, you were the winner of the 2012 SIP Award for Best Whiskey Moonshine. And the SIP Awards are judged by a panel of consumers. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved with that and how you heard about it.
Well, I had the president of the American Micro Distillery Association came by, and he'd brought the head distiller from Mount Uncle Distillery in Australia with him, and a lady that kind of works for the liquor industry in Germany. Her job is to kind of find the best spirits, and I guess she's like a liaison between the distillers and the wine people, and then the bars and restaurants. But anyway, she's supposed to be an expert, so they came by, and they did their tests there. You know, they do it kind of like wine, you know, sniff test and all this. And both of them said, oh, this is really good. You know, it's really the bouquet, and then they went on about it. It's fruity, and for 100 proof, you know, that they were really impressed. And then they were both shocked when I said, really, I don't give a damn. And they said, he was like, and the guy from California, the president, said what? And I said, no. I said, my whole idea was to take my family recipe and be authentic. I wanted to make exactly what I remember my dad loading up in 1958. And I said, whether it tastes great or whether it tastes horrible, authenticity was the main goal on that. And it just so happened with the Sip Awards that turned out to be a good tasting recipe, because that's what the Sip is based on. And the reason it carries so much weight in the industry, you send your bottle out. You'll send out, I think, 3 liters, 3 bottles. And then they'll take it out of your decanter or whatever you send it in, and it's unlabeled. And they put it all in the same plain, no-labeled, numbered glasses there. And they kind of sequester all these consumers. And I forget the name of the hotel in San Diego, but they stay for like 4 days, and they're tasting all this. It's strictly by taste. They have food, and so they get to taste it with the type of food, you know, it's kind of made for, if it happens to be a wine or tequila. And it's strictly done by voting, by what consumers would actually like to drink and what they would like to actually put their money down. So I sent it in and then forgot about it. Well, about 4 months later, I get an email saying, congratulations. And just before I delete it, you know, because I think it's another scam type deal, you know, this gold medal comes up. And it's said, you've won, you know, the Sip Award. And by the time I get off the floor then, and I call my wife, you know, and still can't believe it. So I called out there, and they said, oh, yeah. I said, well, who got second? Because I, you know, wonder who you beat.
Right.
And it was a guy in North Carolina, Dark Corners Moonshine, is second. And it's kind of neat. It's kind of an international competition because they have the spirits from Canada. Canada really dominated this time on certain type of bourbon spirits. And then tequila, Mexican tequila, just swept the tequila ranks. And then, but the United States swept the moonshine unaged category. So, but no, it's opened up a lot of doors that I couldn't believe, you know, and just because of the weight of that, you know, one little contest. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. Thank you very much for sharing it. And Spencer, thank you very much for coming in to Sounds Good. To hear this interview again and a story about Spencer Ballantyne's moonshine produced for WKMS's Historic Preservation Series, go to our website, wkms.org.